At this time, I would like to introduce our first speaker. His name is Brian N.
Good morning, everybody.
Hey.
I'm an addict. My name is Brian.
Hi, Brian.
Let me just borrow that just in case. Are you sure there's no more readings we have to do? So the third step. Well, I'll tell you a little bit about how I got here, because I think the third step has a whole lot to do with it. I always had faith in God. God, I know he's going to come back with my shit. He promised me he'd be there, right? I had all the faith in the world that he was going to come back 3 hours, 2 days, a week later with what he promised, and that what I was going to put in my body was going to give me what I wanted and not kill me. So I always had faith, but I didn't know how to use it to help myself, and it's through you people that I got that. When I was asked to speak on the topic and I looked in the pamphlet, it said third step, third tradition. I didn't know I was going to just do the third step, because to me they kind of go hand in hand. The third step is opportunity, and desire is mentioned in the third tradition, right? Having a desire to stay clean. So it made sense to me that they go together pretty well. And for me, so, you know, jumping ahead to the beginning of the end, I was at my son's circumcision in New York City, where I'm from. I was living down here. We went up there to have a big family, it's a big Jewish thing. And the next thing I know is I woke up in DC General, and it was that bad a trip. I don't remember driving through New York. I remember one time my son's mother freaking out because I was going about 60 through the toll booths on the turnpike, and that's the only thing I remember from that. And then I remember waking up in DC General, and when I woke up in DC General, there was a cop in my room sitting there. So I knew he was waiting to tell me that. I do kind of remember for a moment where there was an airbag sitting in my lap and my chest hurt. And I didn't understand why the passenger door was missing or why I could see the hood of the car up all the way. Like, that was, I thought that was just like a dream, because I don't remember anything what actually happened. Looking back, I know I know what happened. And so there I am with a cop, and I figured he's waiting to tell me that, killed somebody and you're under arrest. And so that was one of the yets I'd hear about, because I didn't have that yet. So I'm laying there, and the cop's in the room. I used to tell a story that I would force myself back to sleep, and I was like, I didn't go to the bathroom or eat for like 2 or 3 days. But, now it was probably like an hour or two. They try to keep closing my eyes so I didn't have to face the music. And finally, I just was so sore laying in the bed that I sat up to face the music. And as I was prepping myself to do so, the curtain next to me opens up, and the guy next to me says, "Officer, I need to use the bathroom." And he was handcuffed to the gurney, because he was from D.C. jail. And when you're in the hospital from D.C. jail, they have to have a police officer in the room with you at all times. And it was at that moment that the faith of the third step hit me, because I had been going to meetings for a while, and I knew about the program. I had been clean for about 9 months before this all happened. And I realized at that moment that God had given me an opportunity to do this. You had to pay to have the phone on. We didn't, but it worked anyway, and I called my sponsor. I spent a couple days in the hospital. I guess the day that all this happened was, I should say, my clean date is July 26, 1999. And that is a miracle, because I was the guy shooting dope in meetings, literally. Like, there was a spot I used to go to in Midtown, Manhattan, that the bathroom door was right in the meeting room, and I can hear people sharing, and I'd do what I need to do and come out, and then I'd share all about how I need you guys, and this stuff's great. And I didn't know why anybody didn't want to hang out with me afterwards. You know, I found out that, you know, we were with our new associations, people were not using, right, and found a new way to live. And somebody using is not beneficial to hanging out with. You know, and with like the third tradition is talking about the, desire to stay clean. To me, the first way I demonstrate my desire is by being clean, right? You know, when I hear in meetings, if you're not clean, don't share. All right. Don't share about the fourth step. Don't tell me about the great relationship with your sponsor today. But somebody needs help. That's what we're here for. How am I going to know they need help if they don't say, you know, hey, I'm an addict. My name is so-and-so. I need help today. Like, that's what we're here for, because I definitely believe in we keep what we have by giving it away. And, that's the basis of Narcotics Anonymous and pretty much every spiritual program I've ever checked out. And I've gone to other places to build on top of what I have here and found that, well, let me say this. I remember when I first got clean and third step would come up, there'd be people talking about their religion and how they were against it, or I'm recovering from this religion, and I didn't understand what that was all about. And I was very uncomfortable because, again, I'm Jewish and I'm in churches. I had never been in a church before or hear people talk about anything other than what I grew up with. And so it was uncomfortable for me to begin with, but I believed, one thing I had going for me is I believed that, God was loving and helpful. The problem was I always used God as a vending machine. God, I'd like this. I'd like A4. I want the pretty girl here. I want this car there. That's the kind of things I learned to pray for, on my own, right, figuring my own stuff out. But as I go through this spiritual process, I've learned to how to pray. Like, now I pray for, like, when my son's mom was leaving, I was praying for her to change her mind. Made sense. Seemed safe enough. Until I had a good friend of mine who's not with us anymore pointed out, said, perhaps I need to pray for her to be okay with whatever happens. And that was my first real experience with prayer in this program was all about. And realizing that the third step is not about religion. It's about my faith and a power greater than myself, who I'm comfortable with calling God. I have a relationship with him today. The way I like to put it is, when I was out there on the street, if somebody told me, hey, I got this drug that will keep you high most of the time, there's no crash, I'll feel confident, safe, heroic, funny, sexy, and there's no cost to it. I'm like, let me get some of that. That sounds terrific, right? That's my relationship with my higher power today. I feel that when I feel that pink cloud, that's when I am in tune with God and my higher power. And I think it's important to remember, again, that the third step, because we all come from all different walks of life, different religious backgrounds, different belief systems, different political belief systems. But spirituality is always the same. Like any program that I've seen, it's, help others and work on my connection with my higher power. When I do my daily meditation, the first prayer out of my mouth is, thank you for what I do have. Because, I don't think I have a lot right now. I have a place to live. I have running water in my house. There are people who don't, some basic things that, running water, there's people. I have a lot of friends in New York that got hurt pretty hard by the storm. And people in third world countries. There's just things I take for granted. So I thank him for what I do have. I have a car that works. Today, I can eat when I want. And I just need to remember that. I think that being the first thing I say when I do my daily prayer meditation is to, because I think that's important. I know, the third step, but, it's through a prayer meditation that I really build the strongest bond with my higher power. And I had somebody once tell me, I had gone through so many different, what I thought meditation was or what it's going to be, because it talks about prayer meditation in here, but they don't really tell us how to pray and meditate. So I was thinking, I tried all these different things. I finally found something that works for me, and I and I was kind of getting started with it, and somebody told me, I dare, he didn't say it this way, but I heard this fellow's telling me is, I dare you to do this every day and not feel differently. And that made sense. And this was somebody not in the fellowship, but was a spiritual guru who was into, understood prayer meditation, and he had me, and he made this point, and I realized that, wow, that's exactly what we talk about in Narcotics Anonymous. And whether you're on that step or not, you know, getting that connection with the higher power, I think is what the whole 12 steps are all about. You know, 1, 2, and 3 for me, amongst other things, it just helps get the noise out of my head to get to the point where I'm ready to open my heart and my head to a loving and caring God that can help me through all this. So, you know, that's what I pray for. I pray after I thank him for what I do have, I ask him to help me get a connection with him. Who better to ask for a connection than the person or being that I'm trying to get a connection with? So I'm back in that hospital bed, and it was at that moment. I mean, I always thought recovery is like a thing that will snap and I'll get it. And actually, I remember I was in a detox one time up in Harlem, and you can kind of see out the windows. And I was watching the girls doing the double Dutch jump rope, right? And the one girl, so she's like timing it and then jumps in and just takes off, right? And I thought that's how my recovery is going to be. Like, I just got to get my timing right. If I shoot the last bag at midnight, I can count the next minute as my first day clean and, right? It is not like that. I got smacked with ropes a whole bunch of times in the head. But I don't know how it got to be where I'm at today, but it did change because just by, you know, I didn't use one day at a time. And fake it till you make it was real helpful for a long time. The meeting after the meeting, sometimes all the meeting was for me was something I got to get through so we could go hang out afterwards. That's how it was for me, you know, and it took a long time. But now, you know, I enjoy being in the meetings too. I still think that our meetings are just our excuse to get together. It's all about the people we meet and how we meet and going out afterwards and coming to conventions and bowling and dancing and all that kind of stuff that we do. You know, that's the life that I have today. And I think it's important. So like I said, I was in the hospital, and when I woke up and I found out that I wasn't in legal trouble, I realized I had a chance to recover. So as soon as I was released that night, I was in a meeting, and people are hugging me, and I was hating it because my ribs were all bruised up from the – had my seatbelt on, but I was all bruised up pretty bad. I mean, the car looked like – I saw a picture of it later. I can't believe that I lived through that, but airbags save lives, you know. So but it was at that moment. I mean, that was a pivotal moment that, like, this is it. I have a chance to do this. I too can die, right, if from this disease. I used to walk around. I still have this. I still struggle with this sometimes. Maybe somebody could help me with this. I have what I call the third step curse. This is where I believe fully that your higher power is going to take care of you if you stay clean and keep doing what you're doing. And I could see it working in your life. The curse part was I didn't think it, I couldn't see it working for me. I didn't believe that. I genuinely believe that this stuff will work for you. But for me, in my experience, things never worked out right. And the best I can do sometimes is just look back at my track record. Look, I've been clean like 13 and a half years. I've been, I'm a sponsor. I didn't think I'd be a sponsor ever. I never saw any of this happen. I went back to a treatment center. I was in California once, and when I was in treatment, and they took us to this meeting. It was in Rancho Mirage, and they would say, "With all those with 5 years or more, please raise your hand." And I'm like, "Wow, that's a lot of clean time. Are you sure you're even a junkie if you can stop using for 5 years?" And I used to hear it every week. You know, 5 years, raise your hand. 5 years, raise your hand. And then I was clean for about 4 years, and I got the opportunity to go back. I made friends with a couple people that had been in the program, and I got the opportunity to go back there for a week. And I said, let's go back to that meeting. I just want to see those people again, you know, see who's still there and all that. So I go there, and get to the end of the meeting, and they're like, will all those with 1 year or more please raise their hand? And I was like, ooh, I can raise my hand. I was so proud of that. What I realized was they were saying 1 year the whole time, but that was such an unfathomable amount of clean time to me. I just couldn't imagine. It might as well have been saying 100 years clean, right? I just wasn't really hearing it. And it lets me know, like, you know, I was just talking to somebody, like, you know, the 1 year syndrome where, like, oh, I have 1 year clean, so I know everything in Narcotics Anonymous. I know what you need to do. And they're probably not wrong either, right? Because they've heard enough good stuff, and, you know, you need to do that. You shouldn't call her, and you should do this. But luckily for me, I hit that 1 year, and it's been a long, slow, gradual decline to realize the less I know, the better off I am. The second I think I know what's going on, it just reminds me when I was, you know, back in the streets in New York, the second I let my guard down is when I got jumped, right? The second I think I got this, God will let me know that I don't. And I don't think he's doing it to be spiteful or, you know, or test me. It's just how it goes. And I find it to be so important to, you know, back to that, like, you know, that whole thing is the best connection I've had with my higher powers is the daily prayer and meditation, talking to other people about it. And it helps a lot. And, you know, the third step, I think combined with the third tradition is where, you know, it says a relapse is where opportunity and desire meet. But I think the third step in the third tradition is where the opportunity and desire meets to stay clean. And how much time I got left here? You know, people who know me know I can talk. I don't know why. It's a little harder from here. Help me out, Kenny. So I might not borrow the DVD from this one, but I think I'm going to stop now because I don't really feel like I have much else to share other than that I am really grateful to be here. I hope if you haven't had an opportunity to get to the third step that you get the opportunity to go through not just that but all 12 steps and give yourself a break and feel the life the way I have it. And that's it. Thanks for letting me share.
Thanks for sharing. My addict, my name's Tamika. Let's thank Brian for sharing. At this time, I'd like to introduce our second speaker, Farrakhan.
My name is Farrakhan. I'm an addict.
Thanks, Farrakhan.
And I want to thank God for being in the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous and to be anywhere in recovery. And I truly thank him for this moment in time. For without his grace, his unmerited favor, a guy like me at the age of 66, I'll be standing here trying to share my experience, my strength, and my hope. I didn't come to this convention to share. I came to hang out. But because I'm blessed to kind of do this sometime, you know, they saw me and they snatched me up and they just asked me what I do with third tradition. And see, what I've learned by coming to the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous, that, you know, for me, I can never give back enough. I can never pay this program back enough for what it did for me 20 years and 7 months ago. So when I'm asked to do this, what I do is I pray and I ask God to remove me and help me so I can try to come and carry a clear message of Narcotics Anonymous. And I'm so glad that I came into this fellowship. Like I said, I didn't come to share. I just came to enjoy the convention. You know, but sometimes I just like to come and just enjoy the convention. You know, I don't want to be no speaker all the time. But when they ask me, because I love this program so much and I love to carry the message, I don't mind doing it. And that was instilled in me when I first came into the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous. And I'm glad that the only requirement for membership was the desire not to use. I didn't have to have no money. I didn't have to have no car. I didn't have to have no jewelry. I didn't have to have no girlfriend. I didn't have to have a pair of Converses. I just can come inside the room and be okay. And y'all would help me grow up. Y'all would help me redeem my soul again. Y'all would help me understand that if you don't pick up, you won't get high. But what it is, though, in order to have a desire, there has to be a stronger desire to stay clean than the desire to use. See, I can't have both desires. I got to have one desire has to be stronger than the other. Because when I have a desire not to use, then I always go back to my reference points. I always go back to when it first began, when it first started. See, I'm an addict that came out of, you know, the $2 bag, when they call it a skag. You know what I'm saying? I lived in Brooklyn Bed-Stuy, and we came up wearing Blashop sweaters, you know, a pack of sweaters, you know, Playboys and Dots, Saratogas. You know, at that time, the Chunk Gator was $85. You know what I'm saying? It was a whole Chunk Gator shoe, you know, full Gator. You know, I came with the Beaver Caps, and the number one car at that time was a Cadillac. If you had a Riviera or Bonneville, a Riviera or Bonneville, you was cool. But the Cadillac was the car. You know what I'm saying? And I watched them slick guys. Them guys that said shit like this, I ain't gonna work nowhere. And they had them pretty girls. You know what I'm saying? And they had them girls that were what we call Lady of the Nights, getting paper. Now, here's a guy that came off of farewell, came off of welfare. You know what I'm saying? So I didn't have those things that I seen some of my friends have. So my desire was to get those things. See, my desire was to not live the way I was living. In a four-room apartment with three rooms closed down because mama couldn't have no furniture and I'd never seen my father before. So I saw that all the influences that I had came from the street. The slick guys. They had names like this, Bosco, Pete Mooney, Roadrunner. Females had names like Bowlegged Eska, Black Mary, Baby Jane, you know? And these people attracted me. These people, you know, kind of like, okay, there's another way. So let me start getting that. Now, mind you now, when I was coming up, like I said earlier, the number one sneaker was a Converse that cost $8.99.
That's right.
That was the number one sneaker. You didn't have no Converse, they talked about you. They ain't just talking about you, they sung a song to you. You know, they told you if your sneakers slip and slide, get the one with the star on the side. You know, so I had to go out there and get those kind of things because I felt bad already about how I was looking, how I was living, what I didn't have at home. You know what I'm saying? So my desire was to go out there and get those things that would make me feel better about myself. See, when you stay here for a little while, the desire not to use means a whole lot of things when you stay here. See, the drug, yes, I understand that got me here. That earned me a seat here for the things that I did. But now I got to go back and connect the dots. How come the little guy can go outside and play skelly by himself? What happened to the little guy that can play tag by himself? What happened to the little guy, you know what I'm saying, that can play football by himself? What happened to the little guy that can go in the park and get on a swing and swing all by himself? What happened to that little guy? See, something happens to that little guy. See, something happened to that little guy that little guy didn't start feeling good about himself. Because, see, I have to say this. When I was born in 1946, and so they wasn't saying, say it loud, I'm black and I'm proud. You know what I'm saying? We had to make up songs like Black of the Berry, Sweet of the Juice. You know, stuff like that. So I didn't feel good about myself. You know what I'm saying? I didn't feel good about what I seen in my community. I didn't feel good about that. So I had to move out. You know what I'm saying? So once I got attracted to the street and I saw those guys and those fly women, I said, that's what I'm going to do. That's what I'm going to be. And see, just like I got a sponsor inside this fellowship, I had a sponsors in the street that said, come here, young blood. I see something in you. I see some potential in you. Let me give you this jewel. Let me drop this pearl on you. And they took a liking to me. So, like I said, I had no father, but see, the other guys that I seen, the guys like Roadrunner, Bosco and them, the number writers and number bankers, you know what I'm saying? They took a liking to me, so they put me under their coat. They taught me how to dress. They say, you're too dark to be a clown, so don't just put anything on. Make sure you look proper in your stuff. So I had role models out in the street, too, you know what I'm saying? And so I gyrated to all of that. Didn't have no idea. The literature says, you know, long before I picked the drugs up, I was an addict. And I'm talking in my behavior, in my thinking, in my conception of view about life, how life should be. So I got caught up in stuff like that. So I began to do some stuff in order to get some stuff. So going in and out of jails was okay with me. You know, Comstock, Clinton, Attica, you know, Atlantic Avenue, Rikers Island. And saying stupid shit like, watch my house, I'll be back. What kind of dumb shit is that? But I'm saying that's how I live because I always thought I'm going to get a break. See, they caught me this time, but I got away so many times. See, I didn't understand that the literature says when I got there, perhaps could have been the drugs. Never associated with me going to jail with the drugs or the lifestyle. And y'all told me the drugs don't get me the lifestyle well. And I didn't believe none of that. I believed that I could, I just got a bad break. But then I came, but after, 27 years using heroin, shooting heroin, sniffing heroin, 27 years, going in and out of jail, you know, getting things back, losing stuff, getting stuff back. You know what I'm saying? 3 years smoking crack. Now look what 3 years did to me in 27 years of heroin. 3 years made me bring the Afro back in. Yeah? 3 years, those gators that was gators, guess it, they became foot foolers. Shoe at the top and no shoe at the bottom. I'm talking about what crack did to me, having me not take showers or baths unless I got caught in the rain. Now, why would I want to forget that? Why would I want to forget the ugly side, the horrors of addiction? I got to always remember my story. I got to always remember what got me here. How would I have a pocket full of money and all I would buy was Little Debbie cakes? I mean, we addicts made Little Debbie's the number one cake in the country. When I came in 20 years ago, it was 25 cents for a cake. I ate all kind of Little Debbie's with money in my pocket because I had to use. Would go to the barbershop, seeing the man about to line the guy up, almost finished. Hell no, too long. Can't wait. Because I had to use. It was all about using. My desire at that time was just to use, and found ways and means to get more to use. Would have coke, would have a whole package and still wondering about that running out, when I'm gonna get the next one. Can't even enjoy what I got because I'm wondering about the next one. I'm talking about the ugly side of addiction, when the euphoria wears off. You know what I'm saying? When the paranoia sets in. You know what I'm saying? But I still had a desire to use, not to stop. Could you imagine knowing I'm going to smoke and knowing I'm going to be in the closet and still smoke? Could you imagine that? Listen, I got so good of knowing I'm going to be in the closet, I would put the chair in the closet before I get there. Because I know that's where I'm going to be. Talking about, shh. Ain't nobody in there but me. I'm talking about, shh. I'm talking about the ugly side of addiction. I'm talking about the desire to use, and listen, no matter what, at all costs to use. And then, like I said, I smoked crack. And crack took me to my knees. You know what I'm saying? Crack made me turn to somebody that I never thought I could become. I'm talking about the values that I had, the morals that I had, my concept of life that I had. Just went away. Because it was all about using. It was all about, you know, that's all it was about. And at the end of my addiction, I cried out to God, a third step that I didn't even know nothing about yet. Cried to him to help me, to alleviate this pain from me, but didn't know how and didn't know when, and didn't know where to go to get some help. Been to a detox only twice, in 89 and then in 92. Now imagine, at 89, like I said, the detox hit me with heroin. You know what I'm saying? Came back out in 89. Didn't hear nothing inside the detox. And this great fellowship, people came up, tried to carry the message. But I'm in somebody's slippers, I'm in some thin pajamas, I got a Paul Mall in my mouth, and saying to these motherfuckers that came up, why the fuck are y'all up here fucking up my house? This bullshit about some NA, never alone. Get the fuck out of here, never alone. Fuck that mean. That's how I was talking. That's how I was thinking. Because I had to get out of bed now to go into the, you know, because they woke me up and said, NA is here. Who the fuck care about NA? What the fuck is that? Never heard of that before. Never heard of that before. And because I didn't hear, I left that detox in 89 and got introduced to crack. Something that I said I would never get introduced to. I ain't going to freebase. I never went for freebasing because at that time, when freebasing first came out, Richard Pryor burned his ass up. I said, I ain't fucking no freebase. He burned his ass up, and I know I ain't fucking with it. And then I'm working after hour spots. We hustling. We slinging hand to hand combat in New York. And at that time, people are coming up, you know, coming up to the spot with lube, stuff they're giving away now, selling all this stuff. I ain't smoking no crack. No, I ain't fucking with that. I ain't fucking no freebase. I ain't messing with that. And wind up messing with it. and it brought me to my knees. In 92, I went back into the detox. Came back out. This time I made up my mind. I said, listen, I done tried everything. Maybe this NA thing just might work for me. Didn't want to go home to the room that I had, because I went from a house to apartment to a room through the active addiction. Knew I had left a stem in the room. Got residue in it. See, that's my reservation. In case I come back out, I know I got a start off. I got a hit for myself. I know it's gonna be strong because I've been here 27 days. I know it's gonna be strong. You know what I'm saying? I know it's gonna be strong. You know what I'm saying? Listen, still thinking. Still thinking about the disease. What's happened, man? And something said when they came up that last time. And I seen a guy that I knew from the street. And at that time in 92, the number one sneaker was Adidas. You know what I'm saying? And the number one, and at that time in 92, everybody was wearing Jordache jeans. And this guy came with some jeans. He was clean. Same guy I knew. He had a shine on his face. He had jewelry on. Now, I know addicts don't hold no damn jewelry. Addicts sell jewelry. He had all of his. So I said, wow, man. I said, let me just sit down and listen this time. And I listened. I went to my counselor, and I said, listen, I don't know. If I go back to that room, I know I'm going to use. I said, so could you put me in a program? And they put me in a program. And at that program, I had the option of either staying in the program all day, hanging around with the guys, talking shit, playing coon cane, playing cards or whatever, or either go to a meeting. And I went to a meeting. Now, I didn't know that at that time God had blessed me with the desire, because it wasn't my plan. See, I'd never share without inviting God in. Because I understand, because I've done step work on me, where I came from, God could only have believed me from that. I'm clear about that. You can pray for me all day, you don't get no brownie points. God did this for me. I'm 66 years old. Look how good I look. I'm going to say that. Because this program is so magnificent that the longer you stay here and the older you get while you be here, the younger you look if you apply this program in your life. If you understand what God has done for you and where he brought you from, your reference points, or where he brought you from. Because I know where he brought me from. You understand? And so I begin to build the desire. So I made meetings. You know what I'm saying? I got hooked up with the fellowship. You know what I'm saying? I got me a sponsor. I got somebody to guide me. Because like I said, religion talks about, and I didn't know until I got here, what I thought I knew about life almost killed me. So I needed somebody to guide me. So my sponsor would tell me slick shit like this. If you get an idea, call me up. If you get a great idea, run to my house. He would tell me stuff like that. Because I thought I was a smart motherfucker. You know, I thought I was smart. You know, all addicts think they're smart. You know? So but he told me stuff like that. He said, and then he started getting philosophical on me. He said, you know, water seeks its own level. Now, what the fuck did that mean? What the hell does that mean, water seeks its own level? But he began to explain to me. If I put water right here, he says, water, once you put it in something, it contains it. And it seeks that shape and form. He said, just like your emotions, you have to learn how to contain your emotions. He said, now if I open this thing up and spread it out, water goes everywhere. He said, so will your emotions if you don't know how to control them. So he began to teach me. He began to guide me. He began to let me know that it was more than just about the drug. Although now, never forget, now it's always about the drug. Don't let nobody come up with that slick stuff about it ain't the drugs no more. On page 147, works high and why. It tells you why you're here. Remember why you're here. See, didn't no honeymoon get me here. Didn't no love story get me here. I was fucked up off drugs. Fucked up. Matter of fact, I ain't got to tell you. It tells when we get here that we had a major problem with drugs. It wasn't no small problem. It was major. You know, anytime you don't take baths, that's major. Anytime you fire a car, you walk around with shitty drawers on, that's major. Anytime you get haircuts, Farrakhan, that's major. Anytime you stop buying food with money in your pocket, that is major. You know what I'm saying? So I'm not going to minimize the disease of addiction. So I'm not going to minimize my story. Don't dwell too excessively on the story. Well, I'm not going to dwell on it, but I ain't going to forget it either. Because I know what got me here. You know what I'm saying? So I begin to get information. You know what I'm saying? And then y'all women would tell me slick stuff like that because I thought I was, listen, after 90 days, I ain't got no recovery. 90 days, I think I'm slick. I think I'm half-ass good-looking. So I got my, so at that time, you know, I was wearing hats, right? And I got my hat on the side, way over here like this and shit. So I'm talking shit. You know, I'm talking shit. Because I come out, because my lifestyle come out hustling and pimping. I have to say that. Not trying to promote nothing, not thinking I'm all that, because I learned about that too. But I'm saying that's where I came from. Because I came out of Bed-Stuy. Fourth and Lafayette, the whole stroll. You know what I'm saying? So now, you know, so I'm coming in here. So I'm, you know, I see y'all women. Y'all looking good as a motherfucker. So now I'm thinking I'm slick because I ain't got no recovery. So I'm still talking that Superfly bullshit. You know, I still think I'm Mac Daddy. You know? But y'all would give me hope, though. Your sisters didn't beat me up. Y'all love me. Y'all said, baby. Because I told one sister, I said, come here, baby. Let me take you for coffee. She said, Larry, at the time, take me for coffee. See the coffee pot right here. You know, but I think I'm game tight. Now listen, mind you, I'm in the shelter. I'm getting 68.50. Where the hell can I really take you? If you said right now you could have some, where could I have taken you? Couldn't took you nowhere. You know what I'm saying? But my thinking was still like that. See, I had to come here and regroup my thinking. I had to realize, man. My sponsor told me, he said, yeah, you might have hustled, you might have pimped, and that was real nice, and don't think you're the only guy that did that. But I have one question to ask you. What agency can you go to after you retire and get a retired check called for pimping? He said, you can't go to no agency and get no pension check for pimping. He said, so your black ass better start working somewhere. You ain't never worked? Well, listen, find something to do. You know what I'm saying? So my sponsor began to guide me. And my desire was to listen to him. My desire was not to challenge him. My desire was I wanted what y'all told me I could have if I don't pick up. That my life would get better. You know what I'm saying? Now check this out. In 92, I came inside this fellowship. In 92. In 93, I found out that I was HIV positive. HIV positive in 93, I found out. HIV positive. But I wasn't worried about that. I wasn't scared about that because there was addicts talking about being positive, and they were saying, and they still was clean. You know what I'm saying? They was living with the virus. You know what I'm saying? They had the virus, and they told me stuff like this. You're not living with the virus. The virus is living with you. Get you some information. In 94, I got sick, because at that time, all they had was AZT out. That's all they had at that time. No cocktail, just AZT at that time. And the doctors didn't know themselves, so they was over-medicating a lot of us at that time. With the AZT. In 94, I went down to 50 pounds, got sick when the hospital went down to 50 pounds. They said, call the doctor, said, call his family, because he ain't going to make it. He ain't going to make it overnight, matter of fact, they told him. Like the people I was with, they told him he's not going to make it through the night. Now, I went in the hospital, I was wearing about 120. And they told them at that time that I was so bad in shape that I wouldn't make it through the night. Wound up being there 3 months. In a week, but during that course, I went from 123 almost down to 50 pounds. Lost all my mass. You know what I'm saying? So the doctor's really saying, better call somebody. But see, the doctors didn't know what God knew. See? The doctor that said that in 94, he might be dead now. It's 2013, I'm still here. And not only am I here, God has blessed me to look good while I'm here. If I don't tell people I got the virus, you wouldn't know it, but the virus don't have no face no way, though. But I'm saying that to say that I don't need outside validation. When you have a strong desire about who you are and desire to stay clean, that you know if you've done special, you Farrakhan, if you've done step work, you know after step three, God is always with you now. After step three, you got God now. Second step, talking about a higher power, that's y'all. But the third step says you got to get a God now in your life. Because you're going to go through a situation that only I can bring you back from. Nobody else can relieve you like I'm going to relieve you. So how can I say I got a God in my life and don't have a relationship with him? It's easy to say I got God. It's easy to say I know God. But do you know what he can do? See, that's what you got to get in, touch with, what he can do. Like I said, I didn't come to share. I didn't know how God was going to use me. But I guess what I know one thing, I know he was. He don't never say psych to me. You know what I'm saying? You know why? Because I don't come in the spirit of I got all that. I don't come in the spirit like if you ain't heard nothing, you ain't heard me, you ain't heard nothing. No, I better always remember God. because this mic can become poison for you sometimes. So I want to always stay in a posture that I know who put me here, who brought me back from where I came from. You know what I'm saying? And when I was married, and my wife at that time, I'm not married now, but when I was married, my wife knew I had the virus. She didn't have it. I told her. And my wife was Cuban and Austrian at the time. And I told my wife I had the virus. There's not a tape that you buy that you won't find that Farrakhan says he's HIV positive. I share that. I share it for the hope. Because I don't feel bad about me. I have a desire to stay clean. I have a desire to stay clean. You know what I'm saying? And so when they ask me to come do something, even when they surprise me, like this morning, you know what I'm saying? It's okay, though, because I'm going to be all right with it. Because I know I'm going to be, listen, I know who has blessed us to stand here. I know who has blessed us to be in this fellowship, to come to a fellowship of men and women. Don't you know our religion says that we are not just people, we are a special group of people? We are a special group of people, man. And that's how you have to look at yourself. You have to look at yourself that you are a special human being. That what God has done for me, he can do for you. What God has done for you, he can do for me. I'm clear about that. You know what I'm saying? So I'm grateful that that when I got it, that we had a church, that we had a third tradition that says the only requirement of membership is desire not to use. You know what I'm saying? Because I get excited about this shit. Yeah. I get excited about this. I love to do this. Because I understand this has saved my life for 20 years, 7 months, and some days. I know I could not have met the most marvelous, sensational, fantastic group of people. Here goes some addicts. Addicts now. That I come into a meeting and sit down for 90 minutes that changed my life. Here go a lying motherfucker on TV telling me I got the cure. My name is Bob. A lying motherfucker. He's just lying, just making money. My name, I was an addict one time. I'm not an addict anymore. What kind of shit is that?
That's what he said.
I don't never want to forget the fact that I'm an addict. But I'm a recovering addict now. I'm not a sick recovering addict. I don't feed myself bad information. I don't feed my spirit that dumb shit. I'm a sick and suffering addict. No, the fuck I'm not. I know how to suffer when you ain't got no dope and you try to sneeze and you scared to sneeze because you might shit and fart at the same time. I know that. I'll never want to forget that. You know what I'm saying? And I come into a fellowship, man, and I meet some sensational people, man. You know, a brother just walked in. Eric just walked in. Listen, I met Eric over 15 years ago in this fellowship. Listen, love him like a baby loves milk. And we don't communicate every day. But see, when people touch your spirit, you ain't got to talk every day. Because it's there. I don't know half of y'all out there, but I know y'all now, though. And y'all know a little bit of Farrakhan. And my name is Farrakhan. Thanks for allowing me to share.